Take your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James. We're going to finish that real quickly. It won't take but just a minute. James chapter 4. And this is going back to dealing with temptation. And we talked about last time the formula that God gives here. And it has been so successful for so many people who have struggled with their thoughts for years and years and years and years and years. And just, they can't run from it, they can't, whatever. The people try to do a lot of different things to get control of their minds. I talked with one gentleman, I may have told you, I'm not sure, that bought airplanes for a, did I mention that? Bought airplanes for a hobby? I don't know if I did or not. I did, okay. And just wanted to get to another country. He was going to go to another country, and surely, if I go to another country, and I have to learn the things of the country and the language and all that, it'll get me my mind off of it. And I told him, my friend, you can't run fast enough. Your brain and temptation is going to be there faster than you can ever travel. And so to God be the glory, God gives us the formula. Let me just go through it real quickly. I'm not going to teach it again because we did that last time. But I'm going to give you one thing, but I think you need the context in order to see it. Notice what he says. This is James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think the scripture saith in vain, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that dwelleth in us, lusteth to envy? The word lust there means passion. It's epithumia. It has that idea of a passion. If it's passion in a bad way, it's lusting in the wrong way. If it's a passion in a good way, it is having a drive and a passion for what is right. Okay. So, but he giveth more grace. Because he is passionate about us walking after the Spirit, after him, and not after the flesh, he giveth more grace. Wherefore God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourselves. Does anyone remember what the word submit means? What is the word submit? You leave where you are, and you go where you need to be, which would be to God. Very good. You leave where you are in the throes of the temptation, wanting to give in to the temptation, maybe because of discouragement or excitement, whatever it is, but it's temptation. So you are leaving that, okay, it travels with you, but you're intentionally turning your back on it. Like the Bible says, 2 Timothy 2:22, I call it the 2:22 formula. It says, flee also youthful lust. That means I put the lust, the passion, same word there, I put it behind me. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after, dioko, follow after. It's a word for persecute. In fact, I preached this the first Sunday that I was here for, and you remember I had the two young men that helped me with it and two of the other men, and I got in the middle, and the idea is flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them. I had four guys. With them that call on the name of the Lord. We're not going to all that. So the idea here is, submit yourself therefore to God. You're leaving the temptation. It's traveling with you because it's temptation. But you're submitting yourself to God saying, Lord, I can't do this without you. I'm going to fail again and again and again and again, but I don't have to because you said there's not a single temptation I have to give in to. You're going to provide a means of escape. So you submit yourself therefore to God because you see, you understand, you hear temptation coming at you and you know it's coming. But you go to the Lord and you say, Father, I need your help. And when you do, the Bible says then, resist whom? Resist the devil. Face to face. The idea, it's not running here. Okay? The other, 2 Timothy 2:22 is flee also youthful lust. There's some things you can just turn your back and move in a different direction. Guys, if you're walking down the mall and some lady is not dressed appropriately and your eyes are going to be attracted because God made you to want to be attracted to your wife. And so to that kind of a thing, but every godly purity, Satan has a defilement. So if you're at the mall or on TV or whatever and something comes up, or ladies, whatever it is in your life, something comes up, if you can't literally turn or turn your head and go in a different direction, all right? So he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Now, this is not that kind of thing where you can turn and flee. Some things you're not going to be able to outrun. You can't turn. It's going to just inundate your mind while you're doing it. So that's why he says, resist the devil. face to face. I pick out a spot on the wall, okay? All right? I may have done it yesterday, but yesterday's not here, and if I did, I've asked God to forgive me. I may do it tomorrow. I don't want to, but if I do it tomorrow, but tomorrow's not here yet, so I'm not going to worry about that. But devil, I know exactly what you're trying to do. I know what you're trying to do. It's like somebody said to me Sunday morning when he went out. Brother Danny was there. He heard the same thing. This man was all excited. He said, "I did it." He said, "I did it," or something like that. There's no need me going through that again. Yeah, I'm going to do it. And he did it, and it was victorious. Amen? Oh, that's exciting. That is. But anyway, you resist the devil, and the Bible says he will what? He's going to flee from you. Niagara River, temptation. Oh, just think about it. You know how mad you are. You know you deserve to be bitter. You know you want to look. You know you want to touch. You know you want to whatever it is that you know is sin. Think about it. Fantasize about it. No, he says resist the devil. Yesterday, tomorrow, not there. Today, I've already been to God. And he said to look at you in the eye, so to speak, resist the devil. And Niagara River of temptation, the force of it, becomes a little stream. There's still going to be a little, just do it, but not much at all. And when that happens, then you can step over the stream, so to speak. Then draw nigh to God. You've already submitted, but draw nigh means you're near. Just get even closer, like the grandpa with the child on the lap, grandchild. And you just draw near and just thank you, Holy Spirit. It's what I do every time. I just say, thank you, Holy Spirit. If you hadn't warned me, I'd have given in to that temptation. Okay? And then the Bible says, and he, God, will draw nigh to you. It's like grandpa putting his arms around. And it's the honest truth that it's sweet fellowship. When you've been tempted and you've given in to it, but now this time you didn't. And again and again and again, you're taking steps away from it. Now, you say, well, preacher, that's what you said last time. You're right, it is. Here's the point. For those who are really having spiritual battles with their minds, it is not a little skirmish. I don't want to use the Ukraine because it's very real and people are dying, probably while I'm speaking. But the battles of the mind that are really there, they're not any less relenting. It stays after. When you're trying to pray, a lot of times it's there. When you're at church, sometimes it's there. When I'm trying to preach, sometimes it's there. When you're whatever it is, it's going to be there. Until the victories come. One at a time and one at a time. Now here's the point. Sometimes, as you're trying to get this pattern started, because you've got a lot of habits and instincts doing it the wrong way because you've done it a lot, and you just respond the same way, and which is just like, you know, just going to happen. I'm going to give in to it again. So sometimes when you're trying to get it started, it's really hard. For example, you're thinking, all right, I got to think of an appropriate scripture. This is what I tried to do when I first started doing this. Okay, I got to have the right scripture for the right problem. And while I'm trying to think of the right scripture at the right time for the right problem, my brain is just, it's getting defeated. And I'm probably thinking of some verse like Judas went out and hung himself, which is not a good verse to think about when you're going through that. Okay, so here's what I've done and many, 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 many others have as well. Is if you're struggling with that, have a song that you know the first stanza of it. You may not know all the stanza, but you know the first stanza. And you know it so well that you can immediately go to it. For me, it's Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Usually, I've done it enough through the years now that when it's, this is kind of a backup plan for me now. But when I have to use that backup plan, generally, I don't have to sing, but Jesus is the sweetest, forgive the music here, but Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same. And by the time I get there, Niagara has already started because my mind is intent on victory here. This is not a child's game. This is victory or death. This is victory or give in because it's death. Maybe not physically as much as it is that when lust hath conceived to bring forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? That's why I said, James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. So when I start Jesus, now some people use amazing grace. I've had several people use Jesus loves me, this I know. Some, the old rugged cross. Some, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Those are the ones I can think of at the moment that people have told. In fact, I don't even remember the last one. But I've had a number of them that just, do you know, yes, my favorite song. And it'll get my mind going right there every time. Don't try to have a bunch of songs that just have one. And that's your go-to song. And then when you sense, like I do, boy, I am just really wanting to, Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same. And I sense the force of that temptation is getting less, even by the time, and I've had it, when I first started especially, I'd have to sing probably four or five stanzas of it, or three or four, or two or three, or one. But by the time, I wouldn't quit until I could get control of my mind enough to submit myself to God. And say, I'm going to see a victory in this and not a defeat. Dear God, I need your help. I smell that old ugly thing coming. I can see its ugly face, and I know I want to give in to it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a temptation. So, dear God, I'm coming to where you are. I need your help. Will you please help me? And that has helped many, many, many individuals, to adults, young people. It doesn't matter. It's helped many people that have gone through abuse, horrible abuse, gang raped, and a lot of other things. I forgive the illustration, but it's very true that that lady for 26 years of marriage could never have a normal relationship. I may have told you that. Could never have a normal relationship, but it works. And I could tell you story after story after story, to God be the glory. Okay? All right, so I just wanted to finish that up, because if you're struggling with getting it started, you may give up. Don't do that. It's going to be tempted again. Why let the devil slap you around again? Why should I let him slap me around? Do I let him? Once in a while. Yeah. When I get discouraged, I get a good dose of it. When I get this, whatever it is, it wants to eat me alive. And you're that way too, in various different ways perhaps than I. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is jealous. The Holy Spirit is jealous of us. Amen? Amen. Okay. It is 3 till. Let's go to 5 after. Is that okay instead of 1/4 after? Is that okay? Is that all right? Okay. Are we good? All right. Generally, they'll tell you at Temple, our services, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, generally last 1 hour and 15 minutes. You can just about set your watch to it. I know that's not been the case here, at least I think. Now, if it is not the case and it's been 1 hour and 15, then I'll feel like, yes, a victory. All right. But I'm going to try to back it off. And to be more, I think you folks are, so I'm going to try to do that. Okay, so give me 7 minutes. Let's see what we can do, all right? So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. And this is really, this is the, let me make sure I'm saying this correctly. This one. This is actually the last one we're going to look at. We could look at several more, but we've already looked at the types of the Holy Spirit, being the wind, fire, oil, water, dove, earnest. Tonight we're going to finish out by looking at the Holy Spirit as being a seal. I don't believe we did this, did we? Okay, a seal, all right. Let's go to Ephesians. Would you do that with me, please? Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 1:13, I know you're familiar with this, but let's go ahead and do it. Galatians, Ephesians, Revelation. All right. Ephesians. Well, maybe not quite that order. All right. But Galatians, then Ephesians. Okay. If you will, look at verse number 13. Verse number 12 is a great verse. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not anytime recently, but it's that we should be to the praise of his glory. Hopefully you've heard it recently. All right. We should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also. Now, I want you to look at the progression towards salvation here. We looked at that once before, but let's do it again. In whom ye also trusted, after that you were sealed, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. So we're going to look at several other parts to that. But just several things about it being sealed, about our promise, about the promise of the sealing of the Holy Spirit regarding salvation. Number one, it's real. Aren't you glad about that? It is real. This is not something that is theory with God. This is not something that is on and off. And if you're a good enough, if the prayer that you prayed, I mean, when you prayed, you brought in every part of the gospel plan and every bit of it, all right? Or if you were, your salvation experience was similar to the thief on the cross that knew he was going into eternity, knew that he was going into eternity as a sinner, and knew that the one on that other cross was none other than the Son of God, okay? And he said, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Now, we need to go a little further than that because he was there with the Savior, but the point is, the Bible says, for with the heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when you and I think about the sealing of the Holy Spirit, it is because what he is sealing in is not a double nature. What he is sealing is he is sealing our salvation, that we're a new creature. Amen? Amen? Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things become new. So he is sealing us because there's a reality to it. There's a truth to it. There's a permanence to it because it is real. It is real. And it is regardless of how I feel. You and I have dealt with folks, no doubt. Perhaps it was yourself. Well, I just don't feel like I don't feel like anything is different. I've had the privilege of being next to someone or across the table or kneeling beside someone many, many times when they've accepted Jesus as their Savior. Many, many times. Sometimes they are euphoric. Sometimes they just are so excited they can't hardly stand it. And I've had them say to me, unsolicited by me, I don't say, do you feel clean? No, I don't have to because the Holy Spirit's the one who cleans them. And I've had them to get up off their knees and say, I feel so clean. Okay. Others, I'm so happy. Others, I'm in it with all my heart. Am I supposed to feel something? And I'm not going to tell them, yes. You need to be like so-and-so that just jumped up and down and shouted glory and all of that. No. When he makes a promise, the promise is made from his heart to ours. Amen? And it's an unconditional promise. Jesus is the one who verified that. Jesus said, and I give unto them what? Eternal life, and they shall never perish. In case I forget about what's happening going this way in eternal life, Jesus backs it up by saying, I give unto you eternal life, that's going this way, and ye shall never perish, which is going the opposite direction. He said, my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And no one, literally translated, nothing. You have the word man in the English, but it's in italics. It means it wasn't there. It literally has the idea of nothing. Okay? My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all. And nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. That means the devil can't, demons can't, I can't, you can't. Nothing can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Then Jesus said, I and my Father are one. I don't know about you, but praise God for that. How many of you know of someone who has struggled with their salvation? Most all of us have. Okay, either it's ourselves or someone else. And that can be an arduous, that can be a very difficult challenge, especially by people, in my opinion, my experience, especially people who are conscientious, who are not there and they're just, yes, oh, yeah, I'm going to get saved. They're people who are very conscientious. Did I do it right? What if I didn't pray right? What if, and they give the what ifs, and I've known people, Becky knows who I'm speaking of most recently, that has really, 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 really struggled with this. I mean, really struggled with it. Now, here's my point, is that it's not how I feel. It's regardless of how I feel. All right, so what is a seal? Let's look at it very quickly, and I got about 1 or 2 minutes. It is a pledge of completion. If you're writing that now down, a pledge of completion, you could put Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 23. I was going to have us read the whole text, but let me just read 23. Romans 8, 23. Oh, I love Romans 8, 26 through 28. It deals with the Holy Spirit there. In fact, Romans 8 that we studied a few weeks ago goes into all of that. But let's look at 23. You don't need to turn there, but I'll read it for you. The Bible says, and not only, well, verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. How many of you? Oh, now, I'm probably wrong on this. Maybe not. I'm going to have to think about it. Some of you look like maybe you do. I'm not sure. Well, let me just ask it like this. How many of you already have your glorified body? If you'll raise your hand. Just no toenail problems, no anything else. No one? You don't. Okay. And not only so, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. I'm going through Leviticus right now. I'm talking about the wave offering and the meat offering and the praise offering, just so many different ones. Okay, peace offering. And it talks a lot in Leviticus, Deuteronomy about the first fruits. Okay, how they're to be offered. We're not in heaven yet. You may think maybe you are, and I doubt that anybody does, but we're not there yet. He's given us the word. Isn't that wonderful? Not everybody has the word of God, though. A lot of foreign countries, they do not have a Bible in their language. But every single child of God, whether in Ethiopia, whether in the wherever, North Pole, South Pole, anywhere in between, if they've genuinely accepted Christ, they may not have a Bible, but they have a Holy Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. Our brothers and sisters over the Ukraine and in the surrounding areas, they have the Holy Spirit who can guide them into all truth. Don't go by that gate. Go down to Moldova. Go over to wherever it is. Okay? Guide you into all truth. The first fruits of the Spirit. It's just like you're not there yet, but I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit so you know what it's going to be like to a certain degree. Even we are ourselves also grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope. Joyful anticipation. So the Holy Spirit in us is the one who helps us to understand that it's a pledge of completion. We'll finish next time. Okay? We'll finish this next time. Did you enjoy the extra prayer time tonight? I got excited. I mean, I'm praying with these guys back here, but I could hear ladies. I had it in surround sound just about. Not completely, but I had ladies up here and ladies, maybe stereo, and it was coming back. And then I heard these men, and I tell you, I am so glad that you don't have to have a birthday or two between people praying. There's individuals that we're not worrying about vocabulary. We're not worrying about airs, putting on airs. We're concerned about touching the throne of God. Amen? Amen. God wants to do something here in spite of Randy Bray. Let's dare to dream with God, and then let's work. Famous missionary, a wonderful missionary, said, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. Amen? Amen? Let's be a part of that congregation and go and do it for His glory. Don't forget to invite someone to be here Sunday. Oh, by the way, don't get upset, okay? I know you don't want it. Don't get upset. But the Stevens are going to be here. All right? And I mentioned it to Mrs. Stevens, and she said, well, I just don't know if he's going to be able. And I went to a funeral yesterday, and Dr. Stevens was there. He saw me, came over, and he said, I understand we have an invitation to come. I said, yes, of course you do. Yes, I'm going to be there. All right? And so we're looking forward to that. So just love all over them. But I trust that you'll give the Haynes a good Calvary Baptist welcome as well. All right, let's pray. Father, I considered not doing the James text with just that little prelude, just that little thing to get us started. Because I know through the years and going through this with many, many people, sometimes it just gets hard to say, what do I do first and what do I do second? And before they can remember what to do, they're already under the guns of temptation. So I pray that they'll already get their song ready for the next time they're tempted to just look, think, whatever. But especially the temptations of the mind that have haunted them for so long, that they'll be ready for that song, ready to submit, ready to resist, ready to draw nigh. And Lord, you'll prove yourself to them. You said that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And it starts with knowing how to deal with temptation. May I follow that through in my life, as these whom I love will do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you. Invite somebody to come with you. Is Wednesday nights okay? Is it a help? Yes or no? Okay. If it is, then let's bring somebody with us and just drag them in Christian love. All right? Okay. Lord bless you. Good night. You're dismissed.